He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Okay, you did better than the 7 o'clockers. We had to do that one twice. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And yes, he is risen indeed. We are here. We have made it. The long Lenten journey from darkness into light has finally come to its end. It's Easter morning. Wonderful, glorious, blessed Easter morning. Christ has triumphed. He is risen. Alleluia. Death, darkness, Satan, and sin have been conquered once and for all. Our glorious risen Savior has taken away our sin, my sin, your sin, and the sin of the entire world, past, present, and future. He has taken it to the cross, and he's nailed it there. And while the Pharisees and the Roman soldiers thought that the cross and the sealed tomb would be the end of Jesus, they were sorely mistaken. No, Jesus has literally blown the doors off the tomb, off Satan, off death, and he's destroyed any misconceptions about just who Jesus was. He was, and he is, the way, the truth, and the life. He is the light of the world. He is the good shepherd. And if you remember from 2 weeks back, ego, eimi, he, anastasis. That's Greek, and that is, I am the rising up. I am the resurrection. Because Christ is resurrection itself. It's Easter morning, and it is a good day to celebrate our victorious Lord and King. And so we do. We do it with organ and hymns, with musicians, choirs, and trumpets, with the ringing of the bells. And in case you couldn't tell, we even did it with breakfast. Alleluia. Christ has triumphed. He is risen. Happy Easter. As Christians baptized into Christ's death and his resurrection, today is our big day. And there is so much going on, and there has been so much to do. The fact is, I planned ahead and took tomorrow off. I figured that Easter Monday would be a good day to sleep in a little, to take a break, to relax, and finish off the second half of the milk chocolate bunny. Or, as I found out this morning, they do have milk chocolate Jesus fish. It's been a big week, and today is a big day. So after all the excitement, all the services, all the planning, after all the jelly beans and baskets, it seemed to me that tomorrow would be a good day to do nothing. It seemed just like the natural thing to do. But then let's wait a minute. We have been talking about a number of things over the last few Sundays. Certainly Jesus' journey from darkness into light, but also the fact that the way Jesus does things is not the way we would do things. Where we would wait for a good eye doctor, Jesus uses mud to bring sight to the blind. Where we would vote for the people of highest moral value and ethical standards, Jesus utilizes poor, miserable sinners like you and like me to be his church. Where we would employ strength and might to be victorious, Jesus employs humility and death. When we would put our feet up after a big weekend, Jesus keeps moving, and he gets others moving too. In today's gospel from Matthew, there is a lot of going on. The two Marys are up early, and they are on the move, heading towards the tomb. They were unable to see to the proper anointing of Jesus' body any sooner because the Jewish day of rest had started at 6 p.m. on that dark and sorrowful Friday. And they couldn't do it in the darkness of Saturday evening either. So now, at Sunday's first light, they are on the go, hurrying to the tomb. The angel of the Lord has been moving too, descending from heaven and rolling away the stone. And of course, our Lord Jesus has been on the move as well. There's no time for sleeping in or putting his feet up. No, even after all he's been through, the trials, the torture, the pain, and the death, and even a literal trip to hell and back, Jesus knows there's no time for relaxing. There's too much to do. In verse 6, we see the angel put the two Marys into action right away. Come see, are his first words. Come and see where Jesus was, where you expected him to be, dead, still in the tomb. But remember, he said he would rise again. Look, he's gone. Your Savior lives. In the very next sentence, the angel tells them to go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. Here the angel gives them no time to wait around, no time to let their own thoughts or emotions get in their way. There's no time to think it over and come up with an alternative, and there's no time for any excuses. Matthew does such a beautiful job of describing all the motion and the excitement of that first Easter. We read, "So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, 'Greetings.' And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me.'" Matthew says they went immediately, or right away, and they left with fear and great joy. Fear? Yes, because this was all so wonderful, so new and strange to them. And joy? Yes, because their Savior Jesus was alive. In fact, the Greek words here are charis megalis. That's mega joy. Not just happiness, not merely relief, but great, mega joy. Go and tell, because Jesus is already on the move. He's heading to Galilee. He'll see you there. There's so much to be done. If you read it, it almost sounds as if they literally ran into Jesus in their haste to tell the good news. Surprised and with their immense mega joy, they fall at his feet and they worship him. But there's not even enough time for that. After easing their fear, Jesus puts them back on the road. There's no party. There's no chatting about what he did on Saturday. There's no time to sit around for a minute and grab a cup of coffee. Jesus gets them going again. "Go and tell my brothers," he says to them. Tell them to do what? To go. Yes, this wonderful Easter morning is all about Christ's victory over sin, death, and the tomb, but it is also about what comes next. It's about getting going, and it's about going and telling. As you can see, there's a lot of going on. Christ's all-availing sacrifice on the cross was now complete. Our sins had been paid for. The victory over death was accomplished as well. And with the blowing off the doors of the tomb, that was so evident. Soon Christ would ascend back to the right hand of God the Father, but not until some more things were put into place. There was still so much work to be done. Because our God loves us so very much, and because he knows us so very well, he wouldn't just do these mighty acts and then disappear, leaving us to fend for ourselves. No, he had to put things in order so that he would always be with us, yes, in spirit, but also in body. He begins by putting the women and the disciples to work. He commissions the 12 to go and teach, to go and baptize, and to send the message out to all nations. He commissions them to build his church, his new earthly body, of which he is the head. And he does this in his very Jesus way, a way that is not our way. He sends sinful people like me and you out to spread his living word, the word in which he is actually present. That's what Peter is doing today in the reading from Acts. Yes, the very same Peter who denied Jesus three times before his death is now boldly preaching the good news of Christ and him crucified. He's going and telling. Peter is no longer confused the way he was back in the courtyard during Christ's passion. "Truly, I understand that God shows no partiality," he says. "The life-giving word of God must go out to everyone. There is no partiality. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through him." We see here that the witnessing and preaching of God's holy word is not simply a request of Jesus to his disciples. It's not merely a, "Hey guys, if you happen to have a few spare minutes, could you do me a favor?" No, it is a command. It is a commission. The same commission of the angel to the women at the tomb and the same commission of Jesus to his disciples is our commission as well this Easter morn. We are not to sit back and take it easy now that our sin has been vanquished. By no means. Like the angel, the two Marys, the disciples, and our Lord Jesus, we are to get going. As the angel said, we are to allow our neighbors to come and see. And our neighbors can see Christ not where they think he may be, far off in a distant paradise, but they can see Christ in you, in your kindness, your forgiveness, your joy, and your witness. They can see Christ when they see his body, the church, gather around his word and sacraments. They can see that he is alive and active, making a difference in his people and throughout the world. We ring the Easter bells today. We ring them every Sunday, not simply to let you know that you're running late or that Pastor and I have started down the aisle already, but we ring them as an anthem to each and every person within the sound of those bells. Christ's body, his church, is alive. His ongoing work continues. Come and join us. Come share in the glory of a life forgiven, not just here at Trinity West Chicago, but wherever his gifts are given out. Throughout the entire world, from Africa to South America, from Russia to Western Europe, the risen Christ is active, and he's on the move. And so we invite all nations, we invite everyone to come and see. And we assure them to fear not. They need not fear if their past sins are too ugly. Christ took upon himself the sin of the entire world. There is nothing too ugly for Christ's forgiveness. They need not fear if their family history, ethnic heritage, or level of income is unacceptable, because Christ died for all. All nations, all languages, all lifestyles, rich or poor, strong or weak, God loves them so much that he sent his son to die for them so that they can live with him in paradise for all eternity. They simply need to be exposed to this life-giving message so that the Spirit can do his work, so that they may believe. And then, after the coming and the seeing, the going and the telling picks up. The Easter resurrection miracle is not simply one moment in history that we commemorate with a day off, like a political holiday. It is, in fact, an active, ongoing, living, and working celebration of the immense love of our God. Yes, Easter is today's celebration, with the music, the choirs, the breakfast, the eggs, the baskets, the bunnies, and the chocolate fish. But it is so much more. Easter is his body, the church, alive and active. Easter is Christ himself, for he is the resurrection. He is the life. And every day we, his children, awaken in the glory of our new life in him. It's Easter. Jesus Christ is risen today. He lives, and because he lives, we live also. So go ahead, ring the bells, sing the alleluias, and bite the ears off the chocolate bunnies. Our Lord is risen. He is risen indeed. Now let's get going. In the holy name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.